Nein, man tritt das Kapselchen. Taura. Zum Tag des Schala. 34. Kadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea. We read. Yom HaShem on Moshe Mat Titzak Elai. God bow Dnei Yisrael Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe, why are you praying to me? Tell the Jewish people to travel into the ocean. It's an incredibly difficult pasuk. Of course Moshe is supposed to daven. Paro is coming with their army on the one side. The other side is an ocean. People are friends. If the people are saying, why were we taken out of Egypt? We want to go back. So he davens to Hashem. It's an Esau Liyakov. Time of danger for the people of Israel. It's a mitzvah to daven. The natural, most natural thing in the world is to be tzorek, to pray to Hashem Yisbarach to help us face sorrow. So how come Hashem tells Moshe, Matitzikalai, why are you davening? Tell the Jewish people to travel to this place. No, he has to daven. What else is he supposed to do? So, all the mafashim are troubled by this pasuk. The Tagamunkelis, very early, he says, it's Hashem Yisrael Moshe, I've accepted your prayers. Stop praying because the prayer is accepted. It doesn't. Not that there's okay, you did the right thing. But that's a little bit taking the pasuk, a little bit not so literally. A little bit stretching the pshat, the pasuk, to say that it means Hashem is telling Moshe, I already accepted your tefillah. You don't have to daven anymore. Matei tzikalai, koin tunkos, means you don't have to daven anymore. I already accepted the prayer. Rashi learns almost the same thing, but he says, Matitzikalai, why are you praying? The Jewish people prayed. I already have accepted the prayers of the Jewish people. Your prayers are not necessary. I accepted the Jewish people's prayers. That's also a little bit of a stretch in the pshat. The pshat is, Hashem is saying, I don't want your prayer. So it's a very, very strange pasuk. Very difficult pasuk. Hashem says, Matitzikalai, yes.
I remember I said a while ago, I don't know how it fits. I said, I thought Pshat was, the previous pasuk says, the attempt hafa rishu, and you be quiet. The aim that's, and then that's where Uncle says something, I forgot which word he uses. And later on that word is used for tefillah later on. So I thought maybe within the silence, that itself is tefillah.
Because Hashem said to be silent.
Attempt hafa rishu. And Hashem telling him.
But Moshe says that to the people, attempt hafa rishu.
Yeah, so Moshe tells them, you just be quiet, don't do anything. But then Hashem tells him, Moshe, what are you scared? Why you say anything? You've already done something. Why do you don't need to do the tzaka? Because the silence itself was good enough.
Okay, good.
I don't know, it's original.
It's original, we'll see. Hashem Yishmael might be saying something which is along your lines, we'll see. It's very good. So, so he said like this. You know, he says that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, going back to one of the discussion I think we had even last week, discussed it at great length in my morning shiur, Shem Shmuel. The question is, why do we have to have a Kriyas Yamsuf 7 days after? Kadosh Baruch Hu already showed he controls the world. You can change nature, it changes the lower, the ground, the middle, trees, animals, and the upper, the sky, all the makos, of every level of the Bria's Olam, of the creation. Hashem is the Baal HaBayit, he's the boss. So why does he have to make another demonstration 7 days later by the ocean? He already showed that he controls the ocean. Why? What was the point of a second major miracle? Why the Kriyas Yamsuf? So he says like this, says, the original exodus, when they left Egypt the first night, Pesach, it was Pesach mid of Chesed, God's limitless kindness, because the Jewish people were on the 49th level of Tumah. They were worshipping idols. They abandoned the belief in Hashem. They weren't even doing a bismillah, so they were very, at such a very, very low level. They were really Jewish Egyptians. They're more Egyptian than Jewish. So they didn't have their own merit to go out of Egypt. They thought like Egyptians. They were Egyptian culture. So it's a special chesed, Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, credit the favor caused long, long time ago, hundreds of years earlier, there were three great people, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yosef, merit of those tzaddikim, Kadosh Baruch Hu made for their great, great, great grandchildren a miracle, took them out of Egypt. But this, the Yetzias Mitzrayim was based upon the meat of chesed. Pure chesed. However, you can't, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the Jewish people to be living based on his chesed. That's not the purpose of coming into the world. If the world would be run by Kadosh Baruch Hu and people are not going to be held to account, just God does good things, so why did God create the world and put people in there? Kadosh Baruch Hu had a higher goal, not just to do easy kindness to people. He wanted people to deserve the kindness. Very much like a father with a child. A father will always sign the check for the child, but he wants the child to deserve the check. You come home with a 4.0 average, better yet, you come home with 100 and a bechina, then your father's happy to buy you a car. But you come home with a F in college, F on the bechina, and you say, Abba, buy me a car. He'll buy you the car, but he's not happy. He's not happy doing the chesed. So you don't deserve it. So just like a father wants to be nice to his child, but he wants the child to deserve it, so to speak, the same way, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do chesed with the Jewish people, that they should deserve it. That's why he created people in the world. The people should get good things, but they should deserve to get the good things. Yetzias Mitzrayim was incredible. 10 plagues, 10 miracles. It was not incredible. Slaves go out from the greatest, strongest empire in the world. But it wasn't deserved. Kadosh Baruch Hu did it before the time, hoping that when they go out, so there'll be a process. Now they'll be able to do it in a way that they should deserve it. That was the goal. So he compares it to a loan. When you lend somebody something, you expect to get repaid. So Kadosh Baruch Hu lends such a pure chesed. I could see it's Mitzrayim, but he expects to take it back. Not to the kind of chesed which we had in Yetzias Mitzrayim is a one-shot deal. It happens once in a million, in a millennium, in a thousand years. Such miracle, such a thing, such a chesed. Otherwise, the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes it back, and he wants us to deserve the blessings which he gives us. The general hanhaga, the general way in which a Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with Am Yisrael is al pi midas harachamim, rachamim, let's call it. Rachamim is a mixture of din with chesed, but there has to be a strong element of din. Yetzias Mitzrayim was not rachamim; it was pure chesed. Pure chesed. There was no justification. The angels in heaven were astonished. They could not understand it. They said, "Halalav devar dezara, halalav dezara." These are Egyptians. Maybe they have a Jewish name. Speak Yiddish. But mamish goyim. They live like goyim. I behave like goyim. Why are you doing miracles for them? Breaking all the rules of nature. To tell them. So Kodesh Baruch Hu did the Yetzias Mitzrayim not Mepchinas Din and not Mepchinas Rachamim. Kodesh Baruch Hu did the Yetzias Mitzrayim Mepchinas Chesed. Pure Chesed. There was no, Jewish people had no claim whatsoever. They were on the 49th level of Tumah. But, as we said, this is a once in a thousand year kind of an event. Once in 5,000 year kind of event. That the Jews deserve nothing and get everything. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides it through a pure act of chesed. Normally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us with rachamim. Rach means he does nice things, but we deserve the nice things. So I explained to him, the father, the mashal, the child, gets 100 on the bechina. He says, Abba, I want to go to Florida for a couple of weeks. He says, sure, you got 100 on the bechina, you deserve a 2-week vacation in Florida. But if he comes home and he says, I got a 20 on my bechina, give me a 2-week vacation in Florida. He'll also give him the two invocation of Florida because he's a good Abba, but that's just chesed. There's no rachmim, there's no din. Okay. So the Mela says like this, he says, now everything of course is in our own lives too. Many things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us from our perspective is pure chesed. And some things he gives us is with rachamim, those elements of din. But sometimes we get incredible blessings. It's mamish chesed. For example, some people become wealthy, other people are poor. Why is a person wealthy? Usually just a chesed, because Baruch Hu decided for unknown reason, this person I'm going to make wealthy, this person I'm going to make poor. We don't know why. Some people have health, some people, God forbid, don't have health. It's a chesed. Even I have a suffix. We know that it's a lot of things are inexplicable. Kodesh Baruch Hu does a chesed. Question of good children versus not such good children. Is that something which a parent can somehow control? Well, that's also Kadosh Baruch Hu decides, he puts into a house a good child, a bad child, or that's something in the control. That through chesed, in other words, is it Kadosh Baruch Hu's decision making on his own, or is that a kind of din and rachman, it's a cheshbon, it's up to how the people behave. I don't know. I personally think that it's pretty much. I think that the parents can control. Basically, I personally think so, that they could control know people say no, people disagree, people think no, but children is God. It's not up to me as a parent. Yes.
I'd rather say both, because you have the Menashe. Some things are...
Yeah, for example, by Yaakov and Esav, yeah, Yaakov was the tzaddik and Esav was a Rasha. So, for Yitzhak and Rivka offhand were paragons, they were tzaddikim. So how does an Esav come to a Yitzhak and Rivka? And Rashi writes, until they were 13, you couldn't tell the difference. Then they became 13, Zeh Pirish, the Beis HaMedrash was Zeh Pirish, Lavoy Dezor. One of them went to learn, and so Samson, Eiffel Hirsch, says Rashi's telling you that Yitzhak and Rivka made a mistake, that they're to blame. Why? Because Rashi writes, until 13, ain't other mafchin beinayim. No one could distinguish between them. 13, all of a sudden, Esav walked off, went to the church. But, so the Chancellor Eiffel Hirsch says that, no, that was the whole thing. Because when you raise a child, chanoicha na'al pidako, every child has to be raised his own way. But they were raising, Yitzchak and Rivka were raising Yaakov and Esav in the exact same way. The same Rebbe for Yaakov, the same Rebbe for Esav, the same chocolate milk. They were twins. So you know twins, it's a tendency to treat them the same. The same chocolate milk for Yaakov, the same chocolate milk for Esav. That was a mistake. Because Esav needed a different kind of upbringing than Yaakov. Because he didn't get the right upbringing, he was raised like a Yaakov, that's why he went to Havod Zarah. That's why I had a discussion actually recently with somebody. It's a very big mistake that people have. They think, you know, I'm going to be tough on my kid. He has to do it my way. And this is the right way. You know, because chanoch na'al pidako, you have to, as a parent, you have to be a step, more than one step. You have to be 10 steps ahead of your kid. You have to figure him out and say, for this kid, this is the derech. He wants to go this way, fine, but I want to guide him in this way. But he should have to go that way, because he likes that. The other kid likes a different way, to go the other way. And I'd be a guide for him on the other way. But I'm going to say, only one way, you must do this way, they're going to be kids, they're not going to work out, because he's giving Esav a Yaakov education. That's the answer for Hirsch, it says you can't do it. Anyway, the answer for Hirsch, obviously, doesn't want to say, see, Rashi himself in the Chumash, Rashi seems to say that this was just an arbitrary God decision. Yaakov will be a tzaddik, Esav will be Rashi, because he says, I mean, Rivka, when she was pregnant, Esav was already running to the Avodah Zarah, and while he was still a baby in the mother's stomach. So Rashi seems to say that children is tak up to Kaddish Baruch Hu, since the parents are really, it's not their power to control. Esav was preordained to be a Rasha, and Yaakov was preordained to be a Tzaddik. So Rashi says like that, okay. And I find it's difficult because it's Bechara, it's the Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us children, he's saying to us that we have the power of impacting upon them. They have their own Bechira Chavshis, but cannot. I think that parents have a lot of influence, for better or for worse. In any event, this is a shaila, because I know that different people have different opinions. but in any event, in general, in anything which happens in life, sometimes it's things which Hashem does on his own, so to speak. It's not really a reflection of my matzav, of the way of my input. It's like Kadosh Baruch Hu decided. Pure chesed, pure nesayon. It's nothing to do with me. It's just God takes it into his own hands. And other times, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is working with me, so to speak. It's with chesed and din, rachamim. He's trying to see what is my input into this situation. Based upon my input, that's how he reacts. So he writes here, person who is a pikeach, he's smart, he'll see that he has certain things which are chesed. certain things he has, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him as a gift. He can't figure out, why do I have such a good thing? Why do I deserve such a good thing? And my next door neighbor doesn't have it. So it's a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to do me a chesed. Maybe I had a great grandfather was a tzaddik. He davened, he did something. Who knows? Something that I can't figure out. God give me a chesed. So we should ask Pikeach, he says, knows that chesedim are not something you can rely upon. But if it's achieved through midas hadin and rachamim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving me something more or less which I earned, I can rely on it. I'll continue doing this. I'll get that. But if it's a result of pure chesed, so how can anyone rely on this? As he says, a chesed is like a loan. And then one day God calls the loan in, stops the chesed. Because chesed is time, you know, it's not forever. So he says, a pikeach, someone who's smart, will always try to, whatever good he has, will try to deserve it. I once had a beautiful shiur from the Rav. He also had a tremendous word. The Chazal have an expression called Vidui Maisa. A Jew comes to the base of Mikdash, and he was very successful in his farm, and a lot of money, a lot of fruits. He comes to the base of Mikdash, and he makes a declaration. I did all the mitzvahs, and my fruits, and Kadosh Baruch Hu give us a blessing. The Gemara calls it Vidui Maisa, the confession. Why is Gemara called a confession? Not a confession, it's a statement of thanks and a prayer that God should continue the good things. Why is Gemara called a confession? So the Rav said, a person should do a confession when he has a blessing. How bad do you do a confession to Hashem as well when a person does something bad? Or a bad thing happens to him. So he has to do tshuva. Because he has to figure out, probably the bad thing happened, I must have done some bad thing. The fashvesh by myself, the mashmesh by myself, he has to examine everything. If a person has a big bracha, he's a very successful farmer. He bought some stocks, and the stocks went from 3 cents to $3. So he bought 1 million shares at 3 cents, $30,000. Now he's worth overnight $3 million. He bought Google, Google was 10 cents. Now it's $500. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a big bracha. He should do tshuva. He has to do a repentance. Because if God gives somebody a big blessing and it's undeserved, how can he be sure that this blessing will continue? Maybe overnight the stock will collapse. Maybe tomorrow Google will go from $500 down to a nickel because someone will come out with a better search engine, a better way of doing things. Why would he? So the fact that he has a blessing which he can't figure out, why did God give it to me? Why did God make me a millionaire? Why did God give me, I don't know, good children? If we say children, is up to God, not up to me. Why did God give me the opportunity to find such a nice wife? Something which the people in this room are interested in. So I found a great girl. Why did God let me do this? After all, it's a needle in a haystack, right? That she should match me and I should match her is one in the, 100,000. God sent it to me. So that if I get such a blessing, I have to do repentance. I want it to continue, and I don't want it to be a pure chesed. I don't want it to be just pure kindness that God, for his wonderful kindness, showers kindness on me. Because that is not the basis of the purpose of the world's creation. God did not create the world just to shower kindness on people. God created the world to shower kindness, but for people who deserve the kindness. The whole idea of the human being and his creation was that we should deserve God's kindness. This is in Hebrew is called rachamim. Rachamim means a chesed based upon din, according to the Kabbalah. That's what it's called. Kindness based upon some kind of a deserving function. Yes.
You say that on Baal's Hanan that Moshe asked for Matnas Kina, and we should always ask for Matnas Kina with the Amish.
Right.
You say it's because we deserve it.
Right. So Pshat, like the Pshat, that is that person has to be humble. A person, when he actually speaks to Hashem and asks for what he does, he shouldn't say, Hashem, I think I deserve it. Because a person is always very prejudiced about himself. A person will never give an honest assessment of himself. He won't. Maybe his teacher would give an honest assessment, or a chreis, someone who just happens to know him. But a person about himself will always be prejudiced. So he can't say to Hashem, I think I deserve this. I did so many good things. He's probably ignoring the bad things that he did. So he has to come to Hashem and say, Hashem, pure chesed, just do me a pure kindness, even if I don't deserve it. However, Hashem on the other side sometimes will do a pure kindness. He does. But most times, he wants the kindness to be measured by some measure of deserving, by some kind of a justice feature. That person should deserve it. So it means like this, by Matthias, it means that the person himself, in his own behavior, has to try to deserve it. When he speaks to Hashem, he can never say, I deserve it. He always has to, when he talks to Hashem, he has to tell Hashem, I'm asking for a kindness. But when he, in his own personal assessment of himself, it's a very, very, very important point that the blessings should never, never be taken for granted. Blessings from Hashem can be very ephemeral, can be very short-lived. And we have to ourselves push ourselves to become better. If we have a blessing, we have to say that that blessing obligates me to do better. Then I hope that by doing better, Hashem will continue the blessing. But I can never take a blessing for granted, because the way Hashem runs the world is he will do a pure blessing, a pure act of kindness, and then he'll take it away. Because Yitaka wants us to take that blessing and use it for self-improvement, as an incentive, as a stimulus to do the things the right way. And in that way, Yitaka deserved the blessing. That's why Rabbi Soloveitchik said that when a person gets a blessing, he should go through a process of self-examination and confess his misdeeds and straighten them out. Not take the blessing. And my personal opinion is we're living right now in the state of Israel of the failure of the people. We ourselves, we Jews, we have failed. God gave us an incredible blessing. He gave us, after 1,900 years of exile, our own country in the Middle East, in the midst of all those crazies over there. A miracle. A pure blessing. And we should have taken that blessing and said, now we have to act to deserve it. Now we have to become better people. Now we have to keep the Torah better. But, unfortunately, we just took the blessing for granted. I know the last 25 years or so, people walk around, the state of Israel is a given. It's like America is a given. I know when I was young, I grew up in the 50s, so the state of Israel was very young. It was only created in 1948. So in the 50s, when I grew up, no one was so sure the state of Israel was forever. It was a new thing. It was a blessing. People were very, let's say, apprehensive, concerned, Taka trying to do things the right way. Then somehow, I think after the Six-Day War, 70s. Everybody started taking it for granted. Oh, Israel's here forever. And now we have problems. North, south, all over, big problems. Not just little things, existential problems, problems of existence, whether the country will really exist. People took it for granted, like they take America for granted. 9/11 was the first time in my lifetime that I saw in America a little bit of an existential question. Will this civilization called America survive? At the time, there was a little bit of what are we? Are we doing the right things? Where are we going? There was a little bit of it. Now, since nothing happened since then, again, back to the same blasé smugness. But the idea, if you have a great blessing, you have to be very, very sensitive to the fact that the blessing is a kindness of God, and that kindness can be taken away. And it probably will be taken away if I don't use the blessing to get myself better, to react in a positive way. That's the whole point. The whole point of God's creation of us is that we should step up to the plate and contribute to the world and thereby deserve the blessing. In Hebrew it means instead of getting a chesed, get rachamim. Chesed means a pure blessing. No, we want to have rachamim, where the blessing, the chesed, is within, is based upon a measure of justice. It's deserved. So that's why this was in the Exodus from Egypt. The original leaving of Egypt was pure kindness from Hashem, pure chesed. The Jewish people were in the 49th level of Tumah. They were worshipping idols like the Egyptians. It was basically Jewish Egyptians. They were Jewish Egyptians. They had a Jewish name, but they were fundamentally Egyptian. Egyptian lifestyle, Egyptian culture. They believed in the Egyptian gods. I'm sure they were great patriots. They supported Egypt and its empire building. So, but so God did them a tremendous kindness, but he had to go through a second stage. A second stage is at the Yam Suf, is at the Red Sea. There was a new level of the redemption, where it should be based on the merits of the Jewish people of that generation themselves. That generation itself should not because they were great-great-grandchildren of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They themselves had to preserve the splitting of the sea. Now that's a very difficult thing to do, to get to that level, where they themselves should deserve a splitting of the sea. And he makes an interesting point here. He says that usually the Jews do good things, and because of these good things they deserve blessings and rewards. Is what are the good things that Jews are supposed to do? So now we have a Torah. The Torah which Hashem gave us is it's a map. It maps out, it's a guide. Torah means a guide, it's a map, it's a guidebook. It teaches us, it's a map, it shows us how we should do good things, and thereby deserve the blessings. That's why we were created, to get the blessings Hashem wants to give us. And here we have a guidebook. But these Jews, they left Egypt, they didn't have a guidebook, because this was before the Torah was ever given. So what were they supposed to do to deserve miracles? They didn't even have a Torah. What are they supposed to do? So he says, what they were supposed to do was trust in Hashem. They didn't have mitzvos, but one thing they were put through here, a series of events which were supposed to if they had trust in Hashem, then it's, then they did the right thing. If not, it's not. It's be simple trust in Hashem. So Rashi says, it's very nice, he quotes the Rashi in the Pasuk, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokech, it says, you should be very simple and trust in Hashem, in God. In the Dvarim Yudches. So Rashi says, if you trust Hashem, you become Hashem's nation. You become Hashem's nation. It's as simple as that. And the forefathers were also people who trusted in Hashem. So therefore, the idea of trusting or relying on Hashem is a fundamental Jewish deed. It's a real merit which gets us the blessings. And that's what was going on during these 7 days. First they marched 3 days into a desert. That itself is an amazing level of trust. They had no supplies. It says they were going to save the Lord. They had no supplies at all. Just matzahs, the leftovers from the Seder. They had no supplies. And some animals. Otherwise they had no food. They had no other food. They had no water. Going to a desert. This is a big desert, the Sinai. It's a huge desert for people who have nothing but donkeys. Then, yes.
Did we answer the original question already?
Which question?
That Hashem told Moshe to stop davening.
No, we didn't answer that question.
Okay.
So, it's almost there. So, Hashem is waiting for the Jews to show their trust. So, 3 days in the desert. Then, all of a sudden, Moshe gives an order to Hashem tells Moshe, tell them to turn around and go back. They're running away. And all of a sudden, after 3 days in the desert, he says, turn around, we're going back. It's crazy. Why are we going back? The Egyptians will kill us. Turn around and go back. And then they stop by the ocean. So then all of a sudden, the Egyptians are there with an army. They didn't know what to do. So every step along the way is seeing, do you trust Moshe and Hashem to tell you to do the right thing? Or since it seems so crazy, you lose faith in what Moshe and Hashem are telling you. You lose faith because it seems like crazy. So therefore, that's why Hashem tells Moshe, Matitzaka, why are you praying? What was the idea that Moshe was praying? Don't fool. God told Moshe that the Egyptians are going to attack the Jews at the sea, and I'm going to destroy the Egyptians, and he's going to make a tremendous name for God. So why is Moshe praying when the Egyptians come? This is all part of what God predicted, that they're going to come and they're going to be defeated. God will do something. The answer is, Moshe saw that the Jewish people lost faith. Moshe knew the whole plan of Hashem was that Hashem was leading the people through different things which were so hard for them to understand, so that it should test their faith. And if they would have faith, then the sea would split and the Egyptians would drown. But meanwhile, they lost their faith, because the Pasuk says that they start screaming, Moshe, it's crazy, why did you do all of this to us? We should never have left Egypt, we should have stayed there. They lost their faith. So Moshe said, hey, what Hashem wanted to do is fail, because people do have a choice. Hashem can only put us to a situation, and it's up to us to step up to the plate and deliver the base hit or the home run. And it can strike out too. And they struck out. They lost it. So they lost it. How will the sea split? Maybe this is it. God did a great thing, took them out of Egypt. But now on their own, they're not able to do anything. So the world has to go back to normalcy. The world can't be run on miracles and pure kindness, a chesed. The world has to be a world of din, of justice, of chevrah. Now we have idolaters who don't even believe in Hashem after leaving Egypt in 10 plagues, and they want to go back to Egypt and surrender. So let them surrender and let the Egyptians do whatever they will. That's what the angels are saying to God. Let the Jewish people surrender. Let Pharaoh do whatever he wants with them. Why do we have to split the ocean for them? So Moshe stepped in with praying. What was the point of his praying? That Hashem should do another chesed. Hashem should do a pure kindness. The Jewish people don't deserve. They have failed. But you did such kindness in Egypt. You took them out when they did not deserve to be taken out, even though they're 49th level of evil, just like the Egyptians. You did it because of your pure kindness. So now by the sea, let's have another pure kindness. So he was praying, because it was not what God had told him to do. God had told him to do it because of faith, that there would be faith. You won't need to pray. The Jews will deserve it. And here he sees they don't deserve it, so he starts to pray. So Hashem says to him, Matitzakilai, don't pray. They still can have faith. Tell them to jump into the ocean. Let them wade through the ocean. And so when Moshe tells it, Moshe didn't know if they would do it. Moshe tells it to them, go into the ocean. All of a sudden, all the people stopped complaining and ran into the ocean. They believed. We'll go into the ocean, it'll split. And because they had the faith to go into the ocean, it did split. At the end, they did come through with faith. They did. They walked into the ocean. And it says in the Medrash, they walked up till their nostrils. They walked, walked, it was at their stomach, shoulders, the waves were coming, it was up to their mouth, almost by their noses, and then boom, it split. Because they had the faith to march, and that's why Hashem says, you don't have to pray for chesed. You don't have to pray for pure kindness. They will deserve it. They'll do it on their own. They'll have the tmimus, the simple faith. So that's why Hashem says such a crazy thing. He says, stop praying. It's the first end time I ever saw in the Torah. God says, don't pray. I don't need your prayers. Because the whole point here was not prayers, not pure kindness, that the people should deserve this. And Moshe had given up that they would deserve it. He saw that they had failed. Hashem says, no, there's still one more thing they can do. They can go into the ocean. They do that, it'll split.
Wasn't there an element of inclusion of Moshe himself that he had to also daver el bnei Yisrael? He had to speak to them. It wasn't just their capability. The last sentence they said was, we've got to go back to Egypt. They needed something to turn them around.
That's good. Maybe Moshe gave them a good speech of encouragement, and that's what gave him the faith to go into the ocean.
That's the
Dabel B'nai Yisrael. Give them a good speech, for Yisrael, and they'll go in. So he did it. Very good. So now he says, with this idea we understand why we have the two holidays in Pesach, the first day and the seventh day. And the Medrash says that each of the Zohar, that each of those days is called a Shabbos. Because Shabbos, according to the Zohar, the Kabbalah, but there's a Shabbos before the week and there's a Shabbos after the week. Shabbos is the first day of the 7 days and it's also the last day of the 7 days. Shabbos is the source of the blessing for the next 6 days. In other words, don't forget Shabbos. There's a blessing which comes into the world on Shabbos. And for when will we use this blessing? The following week after Shabbos. Meanwhile, the 6 days during the week is preparation for Shabbos. So it turns out like this, that the blessing you get on a Shabbos, which then goes into the rest of the week, that's like getting a bonus. I'm getting a bonus. I'm getting a pure kindness from Hashem. He's taking the blessing of the Shabbos and putting it into the new week. However, the what I do during the week creates the blessing for the following Shabbos. So I do Sunday through Friday creates a blessing for Shabbos, and then that blessing for Shabbos goes to the next week. So he says like this, the blessing of the 6 days which produces a beautiful Shabbos, that's deserved. That's a blessing which comes from Rachamim. It's a justified blessing. The blessing which Shabbos then gives for the following week, that's a chesed, that's a pure kindness. So that's why we have the two Shabbosos and Pesach, the first day and the last day. The first day of Pesach is the Shabbos of Chesed. It's the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's leaving Egypt, which is a pure kindness of Hashem. That's the first day. That gives the blessing for the next 6 days. And then like, the 6 days give the blessing for the seventh day. That's the Shabbos of Kriyas Yamsuf. The last day of Pesach is the holiday of splitting of the sea. This is the holiday which is based on Rachamim, on the Jewish people deserving God's kindness. That's why we have a double Shabbos on Pesach. A Shabbos which is pure kindness, the first day of Pesach, and a Shabbos of justified blessing, deserved blessings, that's the last day of Pesach. So the first day of Pesach is the Shabbos when we left Egypt, that was pure kindness. Last day of Pesach is the Shabbos of today, which commemorates the splitting of the ocean. Splitting of the ocean, some Jewish people deserved for their faith and their belief in Hashem. But hopefully, we'll be zocher that every week we'll have the double Shabbos. We'll have the Shabbos of pure kindness and the Shabbos of a deserved blessing. And through this, we'll get the Mashiach Zekeinu. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm gonna turn this off. Usually I post online.